This episode of the Good Times Everton podcast is in association with the Excelsior on Dale Street, a proper blue pub with six cask ales, Erdinger on draft, and some boss staff. The Excelsior has a weekly Tuesday quiz night with £40 bar tab up for grabs, and it also hosts the occasional Good Times Everton quiz. You can also host your events at the Excelsior. They don't charge to hire out their back room. Win or lose, we're on the booze with the Excelsior.
Oh, yes, it is.
The Good Times Everton podcast with Kevin Melling and Liam Knight, brewing the toffees since 1995.
Well, it's good to have you back, Gary. 2014-15 took a little bit longer to come out of the hat than I thought it might. You know, it's been nearly a year since we had you on for one of our first episodes. It was episode 2, wasn't it? 06-07, where we looked at Rocky Balboa and Everton's involvement in the promotion of that film with the Sly Stallone coming to Goodison. This time round, and I can't believe this is like 10 years ago that Creed came out. It's a 2015 film.
Yeah.
But this time round, he used Goodison to actually sample some crowd noise, didn't he, for the Creed film that, in a way, the sequel to Rocky Balboa, I suppose, although it starts off a new franchise in its own right, you could say. So, firstly, guys, do you want to give the listeners one of your patented synopses about the film Creed? Hopefully, you know, a lot of our listeners have seen it, but if not, I'll just sum that one up.
Well, essentially, it's like you just said, it's starting its own franchise, but it's carrying on from the Rocky tradition. So I absolutely love this film. I think it's great as a standalone. So I know we were just saying Liam hasn't had a chance to see it yet. If you've not seen any of the other Rockies, you can just go straight into this and just watch this as a standalone.
But right. I'll just interrupt you guys. Liam has had the chance. It's been 10 years after all, remember? Just hasn't bothered to get round to it. There's a difference.
Yeah.
But I'll make him watch it soon. We might even do a little watch along recording, but go ahead. Sorry.
That'd be great. Patreon content for times. I'm all for that. Yeah. So you can just watch it just as a standalone film. But my main thing about that is, why would you not want to watch the other six Rockies beforehand as well?
Yeah.
They are such a roller coaster. I think it's the closest that cinema has ever come to being a soap opera. I absolutely love the Rocky films. But this film kicks off with, at the end of Rocky Balboa, spoilers essentially, Rocky comes out of retirement for one exhibition bout in Las Vegas. And you sort of think that's his farewell. What can the character do now? But this, we sort of have Rocky as a manager this time. And he's managed before. He manages Tommy Gunn in Rocky V. But this, you know, it's a much better film in every way.
Yeah.
He's a manager of a young boxer called Donnie. Donnie Creed, we find out, is his name. And he is the illegitimate child of Apollo Creed, who Rocky fights in the first two films. And then Apollo, when he retires, goes on to manage Rocky. And then, if you know what happens in Rocky IV, one of the great tragedies of cinema, in terms of the narrative, not in terms of the film, I will always fight for Rocky IV. We then have Rocky now becoming the manager. He's training up this new, you know, young blood to go and try and win the heavyweight crown. What I love about this as well, though, Kev, is that when Stallone made this film, he was 69 years of age, which is the same age that Burgess Meredith was, who plays Mickey in the first Rocky film.
Oh, so wow.
That's coming full circle. I absolutely love that as a fact. So, yeah.
And he's great in this, isn't he, Stallone? He gets an Oscar nod.
He gets nominated,
doesn't he, for Best Supporting Actor?
Yeah. Yeah, he's great in it. Yeah, and wins the Golden Globe, but unfortunately misses out, which I think is one of the biggest thefts of you know, supporting actor in Oscars the last like 10, 15 years. He lost out to Mark Rylance for Bridge of Spies. And Mark Rylance has said some quite derogatory things about filmmaking in the last couple of years, you know, and saying how cinema's like a lesser art to the theatre and all this. And I think, right, well, give your bloody Oscar back then. Give it to Stallone, who should have won in the first place. But no, it's a tremendous film, and I love this film so much, and I rewatch it at least once a year. And again, the links to Everton, it really gets you. And what's really nice as well, Kev, is we are, you know, time of recording this, we're right at the tail end of Goodison existing, aren't we now, really?
One more game left, yeah.
Yeah, and look, we've got a postcard of Everton, you know, right in its pomp, really. It's, you know, right in the middle of the Martinez era.
Mm-hmm.
Martinez has that little cameo in the film as well, which we might discuss later on as well, if you want to mention that.
Yeah, sure.
So
we'll go mention it now if you want.
Yeah, okay. I wasn't sure if we wanted to go through scene by scene,
but
yeah, no. So there's it basically from Rocky Balboa, where Stallone came and was, you know, paraded around the pitch at that fabulous 1-1 draw with Reading. He sort of said in interviews afterwards, although we didn't really have much of a clue about what was going on the football pitch, it did stay with him, the experience. And he started brushing up on the rules of the sport a bit afterwards and was, you know, checking in of Everton results and stuff afterwards. But he really fell in love with Liverpool as a location and did loads of talking up the city and saying how much it reminded him of growing up as a child, going to see family members in Philadelphia, which is where the character Rocky's from as well. And it's weird. I don't know if you've ever been to Philly. So I went there for my 30th birthday. I wanted to go and see like as many American film locations as I could. And Rocky was right near the top of my list. And when I was walking around the streets of Philadelphia, it does strike you how similar it is to Liverpool, like the architecture and also the people as well. Mm-hmm. Really friendly people, proper, you know, great humor, and a real sort of blue collar working class city as well. And of course, fantastic docks as well, which is what the cities are both built on. But he was doing all these interviews saying how much it reminded him of growing up as a kid, and being in Liverpool is very similar to Philly and stuff. And he'd always want to actually make a film here in the future. But the type of films that were getting made in Liverpool when Rocky Balboa was being released weren't really the sort of things that Stallone was in. You know, you're not really going to get the Expendables just rocking up in the middle of Liverpool city centre for no reason whatsoever. Because this was before Liverpool was known for doing all the blockbusters. It was when we were doing more sort of, you know, dramas and kitchen sink dramas and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But then with the tidal wave of Hollywood coming over, with the likes of your Marvel things, Captain America's and your Fast and Furious, you've had Harry Potter's here now, Fantastic Beasts, it really opened the door. And when they came to him, Ryan Coogler came to him with this idea of basically how to move forward in the Rocky story. Stallone was one of the people who was saying, well, let's use these links to Liverpool. That'd be a great place to go because it's a similar vibe to Philadelphia. It's almost taking the film back to its roots, but also going somewhere new and different for the audience. And then using his links to Everton, he was able to get control of Goodison Park for the final fight scene and obviously use the crowds that we're talking about. And the casting of Tony Bellew as well played a, you know, that was a massive part to do with it. The fact that he always had that link already with Kenwright and everything.
And he's really good, isn't he, Bellew, in this?
I was really surprised. I mean, when I did initially, it's horrible, isn't it? Because we are such cynics, aren't we? Not just Everton fans, I think just Northerners in general. But when I saw the casting of Tony Bellew, my heart sank and I thought, please don't be terrible.
That's it. We had such low expectations and didn't want it to be bad because he's quite a divisive figure and he can make you cringe sometimes. Even in like his post-fight interviews as a boxer, I always thought, oh, just stop talking. So I didn't know what to expect from him in this, but I think he did a great job.
Yeah, I was really impressed with him. I thought he was really good. Yeah, and he was tremendous at it. And what's great about it as well, so we mentioned that the Martinez cameo as well. So when we have the final fight between Creed and Ricky Conlan, who is the character played by Tony Bellew, there's a scene in the fight where Tony Bellew lands this hook right on the chin of Creed. And as soon as he does it, it cuts to Martinez, who's in the middle of the crowd, and he sort of like cheers out and he shouts something like, yeah, what a hook, or something like that. And I always think at the time, I remember thinking, like, if he spent more time trying to work on Everton's defence rather than trying to get Hollywood cameos, he might have actually lasted with us a bit longer. But yeah, no, yes. But there's a few, I mean, what's great about it is there's so many great little, you know, Scouse cameos in there as well. If you look out, the press conference scene, which is set in St. George's Hall, there'll be loads of people in there. If anyone's like a regular theatre attendee in Liverpool, you know, if you go over to the Playhouse, the Everyman, the Royal Court, places like that, there'll be all these actors you see in all of these great productions in there who you'll see as some of the faces dotted around in the press conference scene as well. So I love the fact that they actually harness local talent as well, which so many films don't utilise really, you know, when they come to the cities to make stuff. So yeah, that was really nice as well.
Talked about something like that when I spoke to a friend of ours, Sean Ponzini, for another interview, and because he works in the film industry, as you know, and we talked a lot about the scene in Liverpool at the minute and how you need to get you'll get the money from attracting a big name, and I used the example of Sean Bean in the city as ours, But you also, I think it's also right to strike a right balance between giving opportunities to local talent as well, and especially if it's going to be a big break for them and something that can push their career on.
Yes.
LU never really pursued a film career. He used this as a bit of a launch pad for his boxing career. And a year after this film comes out, not even a year, he gets to fight at Goodison. He knocks out Ilunga Makabu in the third round in a really entertaining night at Goodison Park. It looks great to see the ground being used
Yeah.
for a boxing match, doesn't it? And it's actually, did you know it was the first outdoor boxing match in Liverpool since 1949?
Incredible, isn't it? Yeah, so great, and I love the fact it's just so perfect a location, isn't it? And I remember I was on holiday when that fight happened with Bellew and Makabu, and I was gutted I couldn't get there because I remember the tickets. The tickets weren't too expensive compared to when you see other big boxing fights and stuff like that, where it was reasonably priced and everything. And there would have been something about just seeing Goodison used for something different as well, would have been like a nice spectacle. But I was able to watch it where I was, and I remember as soon as you hear, what we have the sirens today, and then the Russell Crowe shouting out with the gladiator quote, and then when you see him coming out to Zed cars, like it just affects you, doesn't it? Like it's goosebumps everywhere. I had a few friends who actually went who were Liverpool fans, and even they were saying there's something about that drum beat, that opening drum roll at the start of Zed Cars that just really, they were thinking like, well, this is wrong. This I shouldn't be affected by this. But I am, like, they were getting up for it as well, and they were right behind Tony Bellew as well. And I love the fact that he, like you say, he is a divisive figure, but there's something about, like, we still support our own, don't we? If he's from a different sport and everything, which is nice.
Yeah, and it's like, well, we can say that he's cringe, but you start to get defensive if someone else says it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I
100%.
thought that was brilliant for him, and that's obviously a lifelong dream of his that he managed to realize. Probably didn't know at the time that we'd only have less than a decade at Goodison, to get it done. So, really pleased, and I'm sure we might see it a bit more often at Bramley Moor. But there was something about it; it just seemed like almost something from another time and place. And I thought that was great and really good for him. Back to Mark Rylance. I mean, bad mouth and cinema. It reminds me of that episode of Peep Show where they go on a double date to the theatre
Oh,
and they
yeah.
start saying, if this was on the telly, no one would be watching.
It's
Let's
so funny.
pretend to watch Heath instead.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. That's one of my, one of my favorite things about listening to Good Times is it honestly, like, there's so many times where I just find myself laughing out loud because of the Peep Show and Simpsons references and so many other things as well. So yeah, because it's I absolutely love that, and it's true. It's the Peep Show vibe as well. Like, the amount of times I think about that every time is great. But I love as well the fact that, talking about that being a springboard for Bellew, he came back for Creed 3 as well. I don't know if you've seen Creed 3 or 2 or 3 at all.
I haven't seen three yet. I've seen two. The thing with
Yeah.
three is, I think I was put off going to see it in the pictures because of all the furore that came around Jonathan Majors, and which is a shame because he's a really good actor as well, and I was, disappointed to see something like that about him come out, especially with tied to a film that I was looking forward to seeing. I will get round to watching that pretty soon, I think, because
Yeah,
it's I love the franchise. But yeah, I was aware that Sony reprises his pretty Ricky role in that one, yeah.
it's and he's he's great in it as well. He's really funny in it. There's, I mean, obviously not intentionally, but in a good way. Like, there's a great, there's lines of dialogue where they're fighting, and he, without giving away any spoilers, he wins one of the early rounds. It's near the start of the film as well, so it's not too much of a spoiler. But he wins one of the early rounds, and the sort of, like, little snide comments he makes to Creed as he's walking back to his corner and stuff is just pure Tony Bellew. It's the sort of stuff you see him saying on, like, all of these little Vox Pops episodes. You see him pops up on different, reels and stuff like that. And it's just so in character for him. He's really good in it. Like, I was again really impressed, how good he was, and I was so happy when he came back as well, because you want to see what happens to the Ricky Conlan character. Because without giving away spoilers as well, they basically set up the fight that this is going to be at the end of Creed, his final fight before he goes to prison. So it's like his last big payday. It's hopefully going to sort his family out as well.
That's right, yeah. And we say Tony Bellew's really good in it, and Michael B. Jordan. That's a big role to take on, isn't it? There's a lot of pressure there to be the main character in the next Rocky film,
Yeah.
especially when Sylvester Stallone's in it alongside him.
Yeah,
What did you think of
totally.
his performance?
I thought it was tremendous. Like I'm a massive fan of Michael B. Jordan. I think he's one of the best actors out there who in terms of versatility as well. Like he's, you know, he can do comedy, he can do action, he can do serious. I mean, he's great in the Creed films. I don't know if you've seen Sinners yet, but in that he plays two roles. He plays their twin brothers, and it's unbelievable. The differences he creates in those two characters is tremendous. And then he's done a fantastic film a few years ago as well called Just Mercy, which is it's like a courtroom drama. And again, he's masterful in that. And hopefully, you know, he should be getting Oscars himself in the future. Like he's that good, and the versatility of him is really great. So yeah, no, I love it. And what I love about this as well, the supporting cast that you get in Creed as well, like Tessa Thompson is brilliant in it. And then, you know, as you get some of the other boxers who pop in there as well, like Danny Wheeler and stuff like that, as some as, you know, the other sort of like background boxers who will play a part in Creed 2 and 3 are really good as well.
You've even got like Wood Harris. He's best known as Avon Barksdale from The Wire. He's
Yeah.
one of Danny Wheeler's trainers, isn't he?
Yeah.
Just people that they come on the screen and you go, ah, you know, you're happy to see them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, really good. And yeah, I'm such a big fan of it. And what's really nice is you still get like the Rocky theme popped up in there, but then Adonis Creed has got his own little theme going in there as well, and they sort of like interweave them as well, which is really good. So it's the sort of stuff where I say it quite a lot to friends of mine. There is something about when you watch the Rocky films or even now the Creed films. I don't know if you're the same, Kev, but every time I watch these films, I always find the next day I end up just lifting stuff. I don't know why it is, but it's like every time I hear, particularly Rocky IV is the big one. You know, I've got a set of two 4K dumbbells here, which is like, you know, I'll easily spend the next 3 or 4 days after watching Rocky IV just having them in my hand as I'm walking around the house, and just it makes me want to lift things. That is
They're
the
very good. They get very good for toning. I'm not sure how much, you know, bulk you're gonna put on to be able to be a
No.
heavyweight boxer, but.
Yeah, no, it's great. And then and what's really good about Creed as well is it really packs a punch in terms of the heartstrings as well. Again, I don't without giving away, I don't want to give away spoilers for people who perhaps haven't seen it and stuff, but you know, I cannot stress enough how I feel like I've shown so many people that some of the Rocky films over the years, and they've always been put off because they just think Stallone's, you know, Stallone is Stallone. People have this preconceived conception about him that he's, you know, he can't act, he's just all muscle and that's it. But he's a great actor. He's really good. If you watch the first Rocky film, if you watch Creed, if you watch the first Rambo film, First Blood,
Yeah.
unbelievable. He's
Fantastic in that,
really
yeah.
good. He's obviously, you know, done some of the really cheesy, like, you know, crazy stuff, Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, and you know, all that sort of stuff. But Copland, another one, like he's
Yeah.
fantastic in Copland as well.
Yeah, Benjamin Copland, yeah.
He's got some real chops. And I love them. I mean, let's not forget as well, Kev, that the best acting performance perhaps of the last 50 years was when he had that sip of Bovril at halftime at Goodison in 07 and then politely pretended to enjoy it, you know.
Well, he has a less convincing performance at the West Brom game in this season. So, did you go to this match?
I went
Yeah.
to it. I was all excited. I was all there, and there was a part of me thinking he's still going to show up. So I was a bit disappointed when it was just the TV screen.
Yeah, he was on satellite, wasn't he? On the Evertron 5000 over in the corner by the church. You remember he's there and he's in the home shirt, which for this season looks really good on
I was
alone.
surprised they could get one to fit him, to be honest.
Yeah, no, yeah. But it looks great with the granddad collar.
Yeah,
It
oh, I
really
love
suits
that
him
shirt.
with his hat. And but he said, and I've tried to find a video of this and I can't find it anywhere. If I do manage to find it before this goes out, I'll edit it in. But he said something about the producers of his new film wanted a football stadium to capture some crowd noise and to, you know, set the fighter in the film. And he says, and I told him, we're better than here, the best. And he didn't mention Goodison. And I was thinking, has he forgot what it's called?
Oh God. I
But you let
mean,
him off, you know. It was, I mean, that was a funny moment, wasn't it? Being involved in those, capturing those crowd noises, because
yeah.
do you remember at first that the fans, you know, they quickly turned mischievous, don't they? And they start singing Cop Out to Gobshites.
Yeah.
They just try and get as many anti-Liverpool songs in there as they can in the hope that one of them will make the cut.
Yeah.
And I don't think they did, but if you watch the film, you hear the main chant that they've captured
Yeah.
before this fight, Creed versus Conlon, is Ali 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 O,
Yeah, yeah,
whatever
yeah.
an FC Roberto's Blue Army, you can hear it like
Yeah,
really
you can.
loud.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It does. It makes my heart sink as well. Again, just so that territorial thing is when they're doing the ring walk and they're coming out of the tunnel and going there for the final fight. You see someone with a Liverpool. Someone throws up a Liverpool scarf in the air, and I'm thinking, where's that come from? You know, because like someone must have snuck that into the studio because they did some of the actual like close-ups of some of the other crowds back in studios as well afterwards and stuff. So I was like, oh, gutted about that. But yeah, no, it was. Yeah, surreal, wasn't it, being there? I was all excited. I was trying to be as animated as I could in my little corner of Lower Bullens. But I thought,
I
no one
know.
ever. Like, I've never spotted myself since, and I've watched that a lot on like slow motion, just being like, where exactly am I?
Yeah,
Just
that
so I
was
can
funny, wasn't it? That
remember.
was like, because I always hate half time. I just never find a way to pass the time. It always seems longer than
Yeah.
15 minutes for me, and especially since when Skies of Grey stopped bringing
Yeah.
out their paper issues. But
What I will say though, Kev, is the crossbar challenge is probably the best we can hope for. Because do you remember years and years ago, and I still cringe when I think about it. Do you remember Who Wants to Be an Evertonian?
Yeah, I do now. I've
Yeah.
forgotten all about that. Yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
that's a good question, isn't it? It's a very
Yeah.
existential one that we probably think
It
about quite a
really is.
lot.
Yeah. Yeah. When they used to play that,
I
oh.
remember Changi versus Changi as well. It was a more short-lived one, but it was absolutely terrible. Didn't make any
Yeah.
sense. It was like
No.
a computer game, like an AI computer game on the big screen.
Yeah.
And you'd
Yeah.
have one Changi would be in the Everton kit and the other one would be in the away team's kit. And they'd just be taking penalties in this like simulation, and there didn't seem to be any like rhyme
No.
or reason to it. There was nothing that like would make one of the Changis score a goal. It was
No.
just, it was completely random. It was awful.
I always used to think whoever wins between Changi versus Changi should play Mr. Testicles in the final.
Well, that, I mean, that game, we'll talk about it a bit more in the, you know, in the main episode, but
Yeah.
it was nice, actually a nice bit of comic relief, because Kevin Morales had just snatched the ball off Leighton Baines before half time to take a penalty that he puts wide.
Yeah.
Kind
Yeah.
of a bit of a tipping point really in Morales's career for us. He
I don't think he ever
gets
recovered.
subbed at half time, doesn't he? And I don't think he ever
Yeah.
properly comes back from that, but
And I was, you know, I was as soon as that happened, I was selling him on every FIFA afterwards. He'd be gone straight away after that. And yeah, he was mud for me after that. Yeah, no one matters, no one puts Leighton in the
That's what I
corner.
mean. Yeah, it's you can't do that to Leighton, not Leighton.
Yeah. Is there a player he could have done it with and we would have been like, ah, fair enough. I thought.
I'd have been, yeah, there's a few in that team
Yeah.
at the time I'd have been fine with. He was, I quite liked Kev. He's one of those players where I think if you looked at like players' average standing across, you know, our fan base, what the general consensus is, I think I like him more than the general consensus.
Yeah.
He's one of those, and there are others who are like less, and but you know, that's the way it goes, isn't it?
That's it.
But yeah, this was a highlight of a, you know, a pretty mediocre season otherwise, and Creed, all of the Creed films really, and I am gonna watch Creed 3
Yeah.
soon, and I've got a bit of time this weekend because
Oh, great.
my wife's on holiday for a few days, so that's if, you know, say that. That's if the baby manages to go to sleep and stay in
Yeah.
bed. I don't really want him watching this film with me, but
No.
yeah, it's on a few streaming platforms, isn't it? I don't think it's coming out on telly anywhere soon, but I'm
No.
sure if any of those films are, you'll be giving them a mention on the Sean Stiles show, won't you, on a Saturday on
Oh
Radio
yeah, I'll
Merseyside.
be. I always try and slip in a Rocky or a Creed if I can. But yeah, they're all on the streamers at the minute. And if you get super stuck, then I'll hook you up with the Blu-rays as well. I've got them all
That's a
stored.
great point. If you know what, go into like a entertainment exchange, or go on eBay or something and get your own physical copy, because we're big fans of physical media on this podcast,
Oh yeah. Yeah, totally.
more so than
Yeah.
ever.
I just want to say as well, like the ownership thing, I was just thinking earlier on. So like one of my favorite songs growing up, and it was one of the first singles I ever bought, was Three Lions. It was when I used to actually care about England, you know, when I was a kid and stuff. And then when I found out, I think around about 97, so just after Euro 96, I found out that the chanting at the beginning of that song was done at Anfield. The song was ruined for me. You know, I couldn't
I
get
didn't know
behind
that. I
it.
mean, it makes sense
Yeah.
with it being Ian Brody, doesn't it?
Yeah. So the three of them went on at half time and got them all to chant and cheer and stuff, and that was what was there. And I was really gutted when I found that out. And I was like, oh, you know, like 8-year-old me, just like, that's one of my favorite songs, and it's ruined now. Everything. So
Yeah, I
now that,
tell
you
you
know.
what, the all the big Scouse not English superheads won't be too happy to hear that, will they?
No, exactly. Yeah, I never
And
even thought
some of them listen to this podcast as well, so they'll be hearing
that.
this.
Yeah. The big thing as well, I don't know if you were the same as well, look, Kev, there was, as excited I was about all of this happening, I was also slightly terrified because we've seen how bad goal turned out, and you know, and you were thinking, God, I hope we're not going to be another Newcastle here turning out with that terrible field. But it works really nicely, doesn't it? And I think Everton come out of it well as well, which is good.
Yeah, but we're cooler than Newcastle as well, aren't we? And
Exactly.
we're not
Yeah.
just going to hand ourselves over to any old production. This is,
No.
this is Rocky we're talking about, isn't it? We've got tenure
Yeah.
with Sylvester Stallone, so.
I was trying to think what would be the Everton sort of like a film festival. I was thinking
Oh.
at one point maybe we should try and have like an Everton film festival at Goodison on like the big screen before it all closes and stuff. And I was thinking you could have Creed, you could have the Golden Vision, the Ken Loach film from the 60s.
Yeah.
And I was thinking what else? And then I was thinking of the famous fans and stuff. Maybe we could just for a laugh just get a Bond film in just to get Judi Dench in there or something. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, Judy's she's no spring chicken either, is she? So time's running out for that, I think. Let's try and get Judy in for our Everton Film Festival. I like it.
Yeah.
I do really like that idea. I've always had an idea that I'd like to open a cat cinema. And what I mean by that, it's not like a cat cafe. It's more like it's a cinema that only shows films that has a cat in,
Oh, right. Great.
and it can be at like, however, it doesn't have to be like a Breakfast at Tiffany's where the cat is like key to the narrative or whatever, or a big moment that you remember. Literally, if we're watching a film and a cat walks past, I'll say to Jim, "Yes, it counts. It counts for my cat cinema that I'm definitely going to make one day."
I'm going to start making a list like as soon as we finish chatting today. I'm thinking of some straight away. You know, Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery, Alien, I'm thinking as well. In there. So many great ones. That's a great. I might even dedicate a quiz round just to cats now after you've
Amazing.
planted that seed. So thank you very much.
Good idea. And you're still doing your quiz with Real Tours at the Everyman, guys. I've seen the posters as well. It's nice to get you kind of front and
Yeah.
center out there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really weird. Yeah, I was yeah, they just said, I think they must have been desperate for stuff to fill the spaces at the
I
front.
did wonder if there's not many plays going on at the moment, but
Yeah. They've got a couple of plays on, but they're like, you know, they're going to be on for like months and months at a time, or weeks and weeks
right.
at a time and stuff, rather than like a quick turnaround. So yeah, they must have been desperate. So yeah, I'm out at the front at the minute. And then I had that horrible thing where as I was leaving the quiz, one of my family members came to the last one and was saying like, oh, let me take your picture next to the thing. And it was just as like all like the cool hipster students were walking past. And I was like, oh no. Yeah, no, so that's really nice. Yeah, so that's third Thursday of each month at the Everyman.
Well, you're one of those cool hipster students at the moment, aren't you? How's your course going?
Well, not any well t technically I'm still a student until the graduation ceremony, but yeah, the course finished a few weeks ago, and I only found out yesterday actually. I've passed all the exams, which is
Oh,
great.
great
So
stuff. Congratulations.
thank you very much. So now a registered blue badge guide, which whenever I say I'm a blue badge guide now, it's, well, I say that, you know, for the 12 hours I've been telling people. I just need to also say it's nothing to do with people always presume it's like a disability thing.
Nice, yeah.
It's a different kind. Yeah, it's like a registered tour guide. So but one of the
Yeah,
things
we don't want to. You don't want to be fraudulently claiming NHS discounts.
exactly. But you know, one of the really cool things about it as well, Kev, is it's going to give me access to being able to do all sorts of different tours and things. And one that I really want to do is put together an Everton Heritage Tour as well.
Brilliant. What are you thinking for that? With, you know, are you able to go into detail, or do you not want to give it away?
Well, to be honest, I've not done any research about it yet. I've just been, you know, I've been jotting down a few little bullet points about things I could include and stuff. But yeah, maybe we'll have to, we can go and have a Lotus takeaway and a pint at some point, and yeah,
absolutely,
ideas or something.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, good stuff. So anything else going on with Real Tours at the minute?
Oh, there's all the regular stuff. So yeah, there's the film location walking tours. So yeah, you can book along to come over to those. So just head over to Real Tours website and you can book on there. I always say book on the Real Tours website rather than TripAdvisor because it's a couple of quid cheaper.
Yeah.
So yeah, head over to that. And you can follow us on all of the Real Tours social pages as well, Instagram, Facebook and X. I am on Blue Sky, but don't really use much of it yet. And then the film screenings as well is always good fun over at Hope Street Hotel. So we always do one a month there. So depending when this comes out, we've got the next one is the 22nd of May. We're screening Speed, which I'm very excited about.
The bus that wouldn't slow down.
Exactly. Yeah, the amount of times I've said that to people. yeah, and I always like die a little inside when people don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or
this is this might have come out just after that. So do you know what you're showing in June, just in case?
Yeah, so the June screening, we're doing Strangers on a Train, the great Hitchcock classic from the 50s. Which is really good. And again, this is, I'm going to have to research this, but the star of that film is Farley Granger, who's a great, you know, Hollywood star of the 50s. Someone told me ages ago that he's an Everton fan. Now, that might be complete, you know, nonsense, but I'm going to have to research that. I've never tracked it down anywhere online. But someone told me that he was friends with Gregory Peck. This is the most tenuous thing ever. He was friends with Gregory Peck. And when Gregory Peck bought a house in the Wirral and lived there for a short while, Farley Granger went over to stay there as like a bit of a holiday home.
Okay.
And apparently went to see a couple of Everton games. Don't know how true it is, but that's one of the things that, yeah, if anyone listening knows or has any more information about that,
absolutely, yeah. Let's put the call out. Someone out there must know. We, you know, we've got a few really good Everton historians that listen to us, and help us out. Was Farley Granger a blue nose? Did he go to Goodison?
There we go.
Tell us. And who else did? If you know, try and surprise us with a few Hollywood Evertonians.
Yeah, yeah. Well, straight. I mean, just getting back to Creed before we finish off. I know Ivan Drago himself, Dolph Lundgren, is an Evertonian, isn't he, as well? So.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah. Rocky Four's Dolph Lundgren. And he was in Creed 2 as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, Creed 2, yeah. So, you know, we've come full circle. And I do need to ask as well, Kev, what's your favourite of the Rockies and Creeds, of the ones you've seen then?
My favourite Rocky is Rocky 3.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great shout. Yeah.
I wish it could go on a bit longer. It's one of those films that feels a little bit short for me.
Yeah.
Which is rare. It's rare that you get that. I'll normally feel like a film is just about right, or it's a bit long.
Yeah,
but I love Clubber Lang.
Yeah,
I just think he's like a fantastic character. I'd like to have seen a bit more of him and Rocky against each other.
I mean, the big thing that was going around all my friend circles when I was a kid, and I still think about this, at least, you know when people say that thing, how often do you think of the Roman Empire? The thing I always think about is who would win between Ivan Drago and Clubber Lang. That I always think about that.
A heel versus heel boxing match. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, the ultimate. Yeah, there we go.
That would be a good one. Maybe they'll do a film where a bit like, you know, in Rocky Balboa, the way the whole story starts off from that computer game, doesn't it? The animation that pits Rocky. Was it Rocky against Mason Dixon? Isn't it?
That's the one. And yeah, Mason the Lion Dixon.
Yeah, and then they go. Yeah. And they go on to do it in real life. I mean, yeah, the Creed films, I love the first one, but it's probably, you know, something to do with the tie to Everton there. But I really like Creed 2 as well. And Creed 2 is actually the only one of the entire series that I've seen in the cinema.
Okay.
So that was an experience in itself. Although it nearly ruined it because I went with Gemma and we went into the screen, and I thought, oh, God, look, it's already started. I didn't realize we were late, you know, getting straight into it, and it's kicking off with a big fight as well. And then we realized that we were in the wrong screen, and we were like an hour's way into the film. So I was like, all right, I'll cover my ears and let's leave and go and find the right screen and watch some trailers.
Yeah.
So yeah, nearly spoiled it for myself, which wouldn't have been good. But
no. Oh,
I liked what I liked in that film, really liked, was the bit where Tessa Thompson's character sings Donnie to the ring. I thought that was really good. Really
oh,
cool.
Yeah. I always, I mean,
added like a really good modern flourish to Rocky, I think.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's so cool. And again, going back, I keep thinking about how good that would be. I mean, one of the things I always try and do on my tours, so we've sort of got this this rule, you know, when I do coach tours or bus tours and things, they always say, you know, try not to divide the crowd, so you know, don't play any like Everton or Liverpool songs and things. But I always sneak under the wire, and I always get Bob Dylan playing Johnny Todd, you know, that outtake from the 60s, and that's my sort of way around it. And I was sort of thinking, like, imagine if we got him to come back and do that Southampton game. I mean, knowing Dylan, he'd probably, you know, play a ragtime version that would go on for 45 minutes and it'd sound nothing like it.
That's all right. That's all right. But if it
Yeah,
keeps
so
us
no
there longer
Andy
after
game.
the match, I think we'd be welcome.
Exactly. Yeah.
We're
So, yeah, so I'm.
probably just going to get camel fat, aren't we? Or
Yeah.
something like that. Liz
I sort of
McClanahan.
feel. Yeah. I mean, the Wombats did that great version of Grand Old Team, didn't they? So, yeah, there's part of me wondering whether we might get them coming to do it at some point or something as well.
We'll see. We'll probably already know by the time this comes out. And so,
Exactly.
very
Yeah.
weird to think that people are going to be listening to this in the future after Goodison's closed its doors.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
yeah, there we go. That's just the way the schedule's lining up, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks for joining us again, Gary. It's great to speak to you. I always love talking, you know, talking Everton and talking film with you as well. It's two big things in both of our lives, aren't they?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just always good to sit down and have a catch up about it. And I hope everyone has enjoyed this conversation. If you've got any questions for Gary that we can pass on, then yeah, leave a comment and do make sure you check out all the things that are available on Realtors. That's Real with a double E, RELL. So yeah, get down to a quiz, get down to a tour or a film screening, and leave a positive review and tell Gary that we sent you. Cheers, guys.
Oh, that's great. Thank you very much.